and I'm not sure how to start, but I guess I'll just start with this question, Rob. What's the best lesson that you felt you learned by listening to Jocko podcast number two?
Whoa, that's a big question.
If you could only choose one.
That's a big question.
Yeah, I know we're going to talk about a few, but I just want to start with the most interesting thing to you, and then I'll answer that question myself.
Okay, so I wrote down two things from this podcast, and one actually leads to maybe discovering something, so it's kind of like an offshoot spur of curiosity. But I have to say, with the discussion of discipline, when he's going from the book, saying that it all began with the troops, like when they stopped shaving, and then discipline got worse and worse. So you can apply that to anything. Like if you let yourself go one area, that you're just gonna have to cascade it into wherever you allow it to go, right? So if you have one discipline, or even like the minor detail that is a discipline, and you hold on to it, that you're more likely to be a disciplined individual. Does that make sense? Like that?
Well, it makes sense to me, because one of my favorite all-time quotes is, "How you do one thing is how you do all things." And I also left a note for myself.
That's a good one.
What you're talking about takes place around 29 minutes into the podcast, and Jocko's reading the passage from About Face by Hackworth, and he's noticing that, you know, he's taking over this just group of kind of misfits. These people are just doing everything incorrectly. They're walking around. I forgot how he described it, with like ammo. Like a
Pancho Villa style. Yeah.
Thank you, Pancho Villa style. And they're like, you don't do that, you idiot, because your ammunition gets dust and dirt on it, and then it's going to make your gun jam and you're going to die.
Yeah, it's like, but clean your rifle, don't mess around. Like,
yeah, but Jocko's response was, those are the little things, those little things that you do right all the time are important, those little daily disciplines. And then when you lose one of them, other things can start to slip. So I definitely agree with that statement.
We're on the same page, right? Are you agreeing, or you have something else?
Well, I agree with almost everything Jocko says, so I'm very biased. Like, I've learned a lot from this guy. So, I mean, you said you have, like, I have like 15 notes, maybe 17 things I wrote down from this podcast, because I absolutely loved it. So I want to talk to you about the Hackworth, but to answer the question I posed to you, like, if I only had to pick one thing I could talk about today on the podcast, it's at the very end where him and Echo are getting into this discussion about, what do you do if, like, you have family members or friends that are not like, they're not like giving
supporting.
You approval or supporting. Yeah. Thank you. That, and he just hits at something that I think is really, really important. And he's like, when people aren't approving what you are doing, that's your fault.
Yeah.
You are expecting, and I'm just reading from my notes real quick, you are expecting praise or looking for approval. That's your fault. And he goes, he's now speaking for himself. He goes, I don't expect anything from anybody because people are crazy. And then he talks about, he's like, listen, if the kind of people that are just going to be negative, he's like, if they are a person that is negative, they will be negative no matter what you do. And then his actionable advice is, don't be hung up on getting approval. Go forth and conquer. No one is going to hold you back. Who is going to hold you back? You don't let them hold you back. And I just think that's super important, and it kind of goes against like the social aspect of humanity, where it's so succinct. This is what I always refer to as like Jocko's own form of stoicism, except he arrived at the same conclusions that the Stoics do, but he did it through like his own life experiences and not just reading the book. But the idea that, like, if you really want to do something, in the case he's talking about when he was in the Navy SEALs, one of his friends, or maybe somebody that he was under command of, he decided, you know, hey, I might take a little break from being a Navy SEAL and go try to get into some Ivy League colleges. So he applies, he winds up getting into and getting accepted. And then when other people on the teams find out about this, some other people, they're like, oh no, this is stupid, you shouldn't do it, it's a waste of time, it's going to be bad for your career. So then he seeks Jocko out and he's asking his advice, and Jocko's like, those people are stupid. He's like, don't listen to them.
No, he said, and that's he said they're haters.
Yeah, the haters.
But like, I hate to tell you, bro, but they're haters.
Yeah, and I hate using that. I hate using that term too. But to me, it's like people, you know, you see people post dumb things on social media all the time. It's like, you know, shout out to all my haters. Like, no, that's the exact wrong response, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You just ignore them. Like, they just don't. That's what humans do. Most of human communication is gossip. If you ever read the book Sapiens by Yoan Naval Harari, he makes that point very succinctly. So just, and when you study history, you realize that's just common throughout human nature, and that's not going to change. So just ignore it. What I want to start talking about with you now, I think if I have time, I really want to read the book because he hooks me right in. And he talks about David Hackworth at the age of 14, lies about his age to join the army. And then he gets in at 14 years old, and then he's just serving under what Jocko calls war-hardened veterans of World War II that taught him about hard training.
Yeah, and you know, the very interesting thing on that is that he was, well, what Jocko points out is that he must have been institutionalized, being 14, being admitted very young, and his ideas were not calluses to like the norm that he thought for himself still. And that was the most impressive aspect of Hackworth.
Yeah, his direct quote was, "Hack was complex." And he's like, "I don't agree with everything he said or did, but something I learned from him, always be questioning what people are saying and confirming that it's the right thing to do." And to me, that's just another way of saying that is just reject dogma, which is a great definition of dogma, is just the result of other people's thinking. Like, to get through life, you have to think for yourself. And what he's referring to there is, you know, you have this one of the most highly decorated warriors in American history, and he goes on TV after he sees, like, the really shitty strategies that the U.S. government is doing in Vietnam, and he's serving in Vietnam. He's like, we should not be fighting this war. This is really unbelievably dumb. And what was interesting to me is Jocko was like, listen, when I was in Iraq, when I was in Ramadi, I read this book every night. And then let me see if I can find the exact note. He says something about, it was interesting. He's like, I learned every time I read it. And then he's like, what the book did for me, reading and learning new things and then watching them happen and understanding them. So he always talks about the parallels that he saw in Hackworth's book, which is taking place in Vietnam, versus the events that were taking place in Iraq. And one of Hackworth's thing was like, listen, we should be fighting. This is a guerrilla warfare, and we're coming in with like conventional methods, and we're getting our ass kicked. He told about there was when Hackworth, I don't know if it was the Rob, correct me if I'm wrong here, but when Hackworth took over this, I don't know what it's called, platoon or whatever the right terminology
platoon,
is.
Platoon is correct.
It was the scoreboard was basically like, you know, let's say, I forgot the exact numbers, 200 Americans injured, 20 killed, you know, but and then some missing zero in action. And then for the Viet Cong, it was nobody injured, nobody killed. No, like, it was, they were just getting their ass kicked.
Yeah, they're shutting them out, putting up donuts.
And that leads me to another important part where Jocko talks about all the time. He's like, listen, people think that people in the military are just some like mindless drones. He's like, there's nothing could be further from the truth. He's like, they're people just like anybody else. Me and you have never served in the military, and I think it's an important distinction because I do feel like that may be, you know, like a common thought. What else stuck out about you about Hackworth, though?
About Hackworth?
About that part of the podcast specifically.
I mean, you pretty much touched up on like the main points on why he came about, spotting minute details and discipline, and then Jocko relating it to training Iraqis when he was just training people in Vietnam. And just it applied a lot to Jocko. For me, it's just kind of like third degree information, but it's very useful.
What do you mean? And the most, what do you mean by that?
Information is like what I mean is like you're getting it from Jocko without reading the book, right? Mm-hmm. So the things that stuck out to Jocko, there's a handful of things that stuck out to me. So that's what I mean, like it's a third degree filtering. Okay. So I really enjoyed the discipline aspect because I'm going through that now, like kind of just being a more disciplined person. I haven't drink or smoke in like what 80 something days.
Whoa!
And like, yeah, right.
For people that don't know you, that's amazing.
I'm doing it. I'm going through sober summer. I'm trying to wake up like earlier, like the little things, like your quote that I just wrote down is just like how you do one thing is how you do everything, is kind of like how I'm applying my life. So when he was talking about Hackworth in the book about like being that like guy that pointed out like small minor discipline things that compiled and just got worse over time, and like going in there and changing everything, and how he dealt with the pushback, I just found it to be highly interesting how somebody could come in. And it's really interesting to me, like I have to say it again, like how like this 14-year-old actually became like an independent like thinker. So a lot of the times I like tend to believe that people like that are indoctrinated into you know, they pretty much believe their own shit, which leads me to another thing that I want to talk to you about that I don't know if it was related to the book, but Jocko talked about this concept of ancestral knowledge.
I wrote that down too.
And I thought about it for a while, and I was just like, wow, that's really good information, but it seems like it's 100% retrospect. And, and I started to think, how could you spot something like this before? Like, this is pretty much a monoculture, wouldn't you agree? Like they're going to just breathe their own air and smell their own shit and not, like, know. Like, and the ancestral knowledge is beautiful. They're not getting impregnated by any outside knowledge. Like, and I kind of want to know how to spot that.
Well, I think in this case, it was a good and a bad. So what do I mean by that? So the ancestral knowledge is like groupthink. That's a good way to think about these things. But what's remarkable is it only takes one person to change. And I feel Jocko has kind of done that for my own life. What I mean by that is Hack, in the book, Hack is taking over this platoon or whatever it's called again. And, you know, they're sloppy. They're undisciplined. And then the army does this whole, like, ceremony where they have to, like, hand it over to him as the new leader. And they fly – Jocko talks about they fly into with these spotless helicopters, and they're all in, like, starched-down uniforms. And Hackworth's like, what is wrong with you people? Like, you don't even notice, like, the juxtaposition between – how the generals or whatever their term was were dressed and taking care of everything, and then they were completely oblivious to the fact that the soldiers, the people they're supposed to be leading, are clearly not like living up to the standards that should be set. What was interesting, I just wrote down something while you were talking about what was fascinating to me is, like, the first thing he does, he says, okay, anything you can't carry on you 24 hours a day goes in the pile, and the chopper's going to take it out. So the guys were really mad about him.
Could you imagine, like, that's what you're hearing? Like, you're sitting there, you have a porter potty, you kind of have these creature comforts.
You have a guitar.
Yeah, you have all kinds of fucking stuff. Stupid shit. Maybe some guy's like, oh man, I got to give up my tambourine.
Here's something important about human nature, though. After they saw that this guy was effective, so one of the first things he does, he moves them back 300 yards at night. And then the night he does that, bombs from the Viet Cong land, and if he didn't do that, they would have been dead, the people that were out on patrol or whatever the case was. And so what I loved about the book, it says they're not talking to Hackworth, but he overhears this. He's like, he's a bastard, but he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think that was the most important part. Like, hey, I want my guitar, I want my porta potty, I want whatever else they had, but this guy clearly knows what he's doing, and more importantly, he told him why he's doing it. Which Jocko talks about. He's like, listen, man, they're not just he didn't use the word slaves. They're not just like mindless robots. You have to explain to them why you're doing what they do. And he talks about that where he gets hired to come into companies. People are like, I want you to whip my guys into shape. He's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
I'm not a drill instructor. Like, you have to communicate with them.
What company is going to respond to, like, drills?
A lot, man.
If you don't see it come, you're like, hey, I got a special guest, Jocko Willink, and he just, a mountain of a man shows up and just starts yelling at you, like, doing this without reason whys. But, like, yeah, I'm not talking about, like,
I thought you meant how many companies will think this is a good idea. I'm like, probably a lot of them probably think it's a good idea, even though, you know, I think we're in agreement that it's not. So moving right along, though, just because I want to make these podcasts as short and compact as possible and just get people information that, again, we're just trying to talk about the lessons. Like, we're treating these podcasts like we're enrolled in, like, in a college course.
This is the maxim of the maxims of Jocko, which would be – that'd be a cool book. I'd read that.
I mean, I bought his – he kind of already has one. It's called The Discipline Equals Freedom Field Manual, and it's on my nightstand. It's one of those books, like we talked about, one of our favorite books jointly is The Bed of Procrustes, which is a little philosophical aphorisms by Nassim Nicholas Taleb.
Just give that as a gift,
it's a book where you just pick up, like, I read it all the way through, which you can read in a few hours, but really it's meant to be picked up every once in a while and just read, like, a part, like, no, read for 2 minutes, put it down.
In the preface by the author, it says, don't read more than 4 a day.
By which one?
In The Bed of Procrustes.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Did you not read the first page?
No, of course I did. But I've had that book for years, and, you know, like, I can't keep everything in my mind. Jesus.
I don't know. I thought that was, like, one of the most interesting things about reading that book, and you know, the one that I don't want to get into, like, what my favorite aphorisms from there, but, like, it it hit me. I'm like, whoa, this book, the author is basically telling you, like, don't read this too much. Like you have to think about this stuff. Don't just oversaturate your mind with this. Like, let stuff sit and simmer. And that's the beauty. Like, I'm reading the Daily Stoic now. And somebody got me that as a gift, and I actually returned. I was just like, well, you're going to read Bed of Procrustes. Because it's kind of like a similar format, is where you just read a little bit at a time, and there's more reflection. So, I don't know. Both books are great, and I'm on a huge Ryan Holiday kick right now. Apparently,
I'm gonna have to join you eventually. So, in the second half of this podcast, or of this class that we both took, I guess is the way to think about it. So he's doing Q&A, and I took a lot of notes on that. But because we have a limited amount of time, I want to talk to you about the lesson. Somebody asked him, what lessons has jiu-jitsu taught him?
Yeah.
And I took a bunch of notes here because I've never done jiu-jitsu. I haven't taken it, although slowly but surely Jocko is kind of
pushing you towards that.
He's like brainwashing me in a good way to do that, and I just have to find obviously the time or whatever. But I really thought about it because he always talks about, he's like, listen man, especially with daughters, like he's got a bunch of daughters. And he's like, they need to, like, as soon as they're 5 or 6 years old, which is the age of my daughter at this time, like, you need to put them in jiu-jitsu classes. And I just think that's smart. So one of the lessons, and I'm just going to go through all the lessons that he taught me, and we can talk about it. But the first one that relates to what I'm saying is jiu-jitsu will teach you humility. Mm-hmm. You will be submitted by people smaller and less strong than you. And especially for, you know, like a little girl, and even as she ages, like, it's kind of like an equalizer, you know, because like in any fight, if somebody, like, let's say you have a smaller person but that's really skilled in jiu-jitsu, and you have a little larger, stronger person that's never trained, most likely, according to Jocko, and I just have to rely on his expertise here, that smaller person's going to win that fight because that they're just going to be able to do things to the other person that just they don't know like how to respond to, because it's all about leverage.
I would say jiu-jitsu is pretty much like when you look at any like random street fight, how often do they go to the ground?
A lot.
They pretty much always go to the ground, and that's where somebody in jiu-jitsu will have the upper hand.
Did you just have an aneurysm?
No, I just like because I pronounced it like jiu-jitsu. You ever hear that Dana Carvey bit where he's like judicial system and how nobody can pronounce it right? It's always like kind of a twitch. Like I have the same thing with jiu-jitsu. Like it just comes off weird sometimes. But anyway, anytime a fight goes to the ground, people with jiu-jitsu will have the upper hand in any of that. They'll have the leverage. I think smaller is kind of good because you can maneuver better. But you know, you think about like somebody thinks about their strengths, like I'm big, I'm strong, I'm gonna take this, like they're overconfident, right? And they just take over that weakness.
Well, you speak of overconfidence. He told a story, and the second thing he says it teaches you, he's like, it'll teach you respect. You won't mess with anyone because you don't know what they're capable of. And he talks about this guy he served in the military with that was a real badass. He grew up like a gangbanger in Texas, and then later on in life, you know, he starts practicing jiu-jitsu and gets really good at it, and then he talks to Jocko about it. He's like, man, he's like, I used to think I could go around and just kick everybody's ass. He's like, now it's the opposite. He's like, I intentionally avoid any sort of conflict because I don't know what the other person is capable of. And so Jocko always talks about that because he, on other podcasts, he'll get, you know, think you just said it, like he's a, you know, black belt in jiu-jitsu, knows how to use firearms, strong, 230 pounds, yada, yada, yada. So a lot of people assume, they ask him like, oh, like what do you do if you're in a street fight or if somebody disrespects your girl? And he gets these questions from time to time on in future podcasts that we'll eventually cover. And he always brings up, he's like, people expect me to be like, oh, you know, defend your honor and fight. And he's like, no, it's the opposite. He's like, what would I do in that situation? He goes, the first, and this was shocking to me. This is why I remember it even, you know, maybe a year after hearing him say it for the first time. He's like, I would run. And people are like, what? He's like, your first line of defense is your feet. I would run. And then the follow-up is like, well, I don't understand. You train in jiu-jitsu. You have firearms. And he's like, yeah, that's in the case that you cannot escape.
Yeah.
And then he always talks about it. He's like, oh, what would you do if somebody disrespects your wife? He's like, I would leave. And then I'd go take her out to dinner. And we'd talk about how stupid that guy was. And that's the exact counterintuitive part. And that's what he's saying. He's like, listen, real badasses, the people that are trained to fight, he's like, if black belts in jiu-jitsu they're calm people. They don't go looking for fights. This is, again, according to Jocko, and we have to rely on his expertise at jiu-jitsu here. He's like, it's the white belts or the people that don't know what they do that puff out their chest, you know? And he does, he talks about, I don't know what podcast it was, another one I listened to where he's like, some people don't choose this route. He's like, I had a friend where some guy, they're in a bar, some random guy smacks his girlfriend's ass. And he made the decision. He's like, all right, well, you know, I'm not going to run. And he just went to beating the shit out of the guy. But it cost him like $10,000 in lawyer fees. I think he had to do like 6 months community service.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff. So he's
there's so much underneath, like, you can react, but you're not free from the consequences.
It's just, what I'm saying is Jocko's advice is smarter. We should just listen to him. It's just smarter to avoid it. So back to what do you learn about jiu-jitsu?
100%.
So we talked about humility, respect, and he's like, it'll teach you discipline. If you want to get better at jiu-jitsu, you have to train even when you don't feel like it. It teaches you that brains and strategies trump strength. This is a metaphor for life. This is what I mean. This guy is just like an abundance. He's like a fountain of like useful knowledge for real life as opposed to just taking a class on some shit that you'll never use in your day-to-day. Like, that's really hard. Again, he's very... well-skilled, and he's very strong, but he's saying, no, my mind is way stronger and a better strategy than my strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, he says, jiu-jitsu teaches you the value of an indirect approach.
That's something else that kind of surfaces a lot in my mind after listening to this podcast is like the person who flanks first is more often or not the winner, right? And he talks about like having difficulty with somebody asking them like, hey, I need to give you training. But yet again, it wouldn't have worked at all because you're giving somebody with maybe a higher title or a higher rank, and they will pull rank, and then it'll just be ineffective. But he came across with let's say this person, and hey, why don't you help me with this class? I need help with the organization. Blah blah blah, and kind of, you know, it was kind of a mental maneuver in which everything worked out to complete whatever task it may be, right? So I'm trying to use this knowledge in a vacuum. So I thought that was like highly, highly applicable to like just daily life.
Yeah, and I would say just as a qualifier, especially with the young aggressive men, I feel like you're like your initial response might be, oh, you know, F that person, that doesn't matter. And Jocko's response would be like, no, build the relationship. Because in a working relationship, let's contain our discussion just to that for the time being. In a working relationship, you might not get to choose all the time the people you have to work with to get something done. And so you can be mad at a certain person or be like, oh, that guy's an asshole or whatever the case is. He's like, well, I won't even think that way. I need to build the relationship. And he goes, yeah, and that means sometimes you have to build relationships with people that you don't like or respect.
True.
And again, why would you refuse to do that? Because of your ego, because, oh, this person is doing something I don't like to do. And what I always try to remind myself is like, my feelings are not important. They're just not important. If they get in the way of the objective, they're not important. We've got to stop putting and I feel like, especially in today's culture, and I hate using such like a wide swath of language like that, but it's like, oh, like, how do you feel about it? I told you before, for those that don't know, I have another podcast called Founders, where I do very much similar to what Jocko does. Instead of reading books on war, I read books on people that built companies. And I usually like the history of entrepreneurship, I would call it. Like, I'm documenting the history of entrepreneurship. That's my goal, right? So I read Henry Ford's autobiography. And one of the things he talked about, a very similar opinion that Jocko has towards the end of his autobiography, he's just like, you know, there's too many men today. And, you know, most of his workforce was men at the time. That put a precedence on like, oh, doing like the quality of their work is tied to how good they feel that day. And he's like, your feelings don't matter. And so I in the podcast, I was like, that's Henry Ford telling us, fuck your feelings. Cause that's basically like and it's funny that, you know, we hear a very similar message from Jocko and, you know, using different language, but Henry Ford's writing these words in like 1910. And it's just like, one of my favorite sayings is history doesn't repeat, human nature does. And I think that's why it's so valuable what Jocko was saying. He's like, you know, the same stuff going on in the 1960s in Vietnam was happening in 2006 in Iraq. because human nature doesn't change, and therefore we should spend time studying these historical examples so we have an understanding of what's taking place today. And I think that's a good place to leave it, Rob, unless you got anything else.
No, that's kind of funny. I'm watching the Ken Burns Vietnam special on Netflix now.
Is that one that just came out?
I don't know. I'm just watching it. Okay. Oh, Ken Burns, throw it on.
I have the last one of his I saw, which are fantastic, was the one of World War One.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
No. Civil War I've watched twice.
I gotta check that out.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, I like Ken Burns and Vietnam is something that was like I don't really know too much about it at all. So like I just went through like the history of it, like the history of why we even went into the war yesterday, coincidentally.
Yeah, I don't know too much about it. All I know is like a big cultural touchstone for us. But I'm sure he covers it a couple more. There's other books in this course that we're taking that we're going to actually learn a lot more about Vietnam. But yeah, it's good that you're
reading some of these books.
That's good that you're listening or you're watching these documentaries for Ken Burns, because then we'll be able to discuss it on the podcast. All right, man. Well, it's good talking to you. I'll talk to you soon. And we'll be back soon with a podcast on Jocko number 3 next week.
Got it.
All right.